afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everyone, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I am Pat Francis.
But I'm Gary Lucy. Conflict.
Oh.
No.
Wait, no, I'm Gary Lucy.
No, wait.
Gary, I ran into a friend of yours up at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. Susie?
Oh, Susie Racho. Oh, cool.
Yeah, really nice and had nothing but great things to say about you.
She's awesome. Yeah, yeah, she's great. She was... We went to college together. You see a lot of comedy together. You know, I can't go on the damn internet without seeing pictures of you and Matt partying with Florence Henderson. What the hell is that about?
That lady knows how to get down.
Does she really?
Yeah. No, she was really, really. She was just a gracious, sweet presence. Very nice. Knew how to play with the jackasses and was classy. A classy lady. We had fun with her.
I was hoping she'd be filthy.
She was filthy. She was. She was. I don't like the word body, but she. And she wasn't down and dirty, but she was a little.
Not that fake.
You say risque.
She did make a dick joke.
She did make it. She said dick, and she alluded that Jimmy needed to fuck more.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, you can hear all that. It's a bonus episode of Never Not Funny.
Cool.
By the time this comes out, that'll already be out.
Yeah. But no, she was great.
Yes. Sketchfest episode.
Exciting. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Meet your heroes. Did you think when you were getting into this that you would ever party with Florence Henderson?
No. Now, Kathleen Turner, here I come.
Yes.
Stop the press!
What's going on? Oh!
I have a new segment, an occasional segment. It's a brand new single.
Wait a minute.
I don't think either of you have heard it. I'm taking over. Shut up! Everybody shut up!
Okay.
I've got a song to play. You guys get to play all the songs you want.
Wow.
Now I got a song.
This is harsh.
I don't know if you've heard this or not. By the time this episode airs, I think the entire world will have heard this, but I'm hoping you've never, you guys, this. I want a virgin reactions to this new single. It's going to change the world, you guys. You ready?
All right. Love it.
L-U-V, Madonna.
Why? Oh.
You wanna. I see you coming and I don't wanna know your name.
Man, that is some cutting edge 2006 Gwen Stefani action there. That's mad.
Has she been listening to My Lady Avril Lavigne with the hand claps and Madonna?
It's in the grand tradition of Mickey and Gwen Stefani, Avril Lavigne. It's a classic cheerleader chant song.
So what do you think of it?
I love it. I heard it last night for the first time, and I think it's addictive.
Do you L-U-V it?
I L-U-V Madonna.
And the album's called MDNA.
Yeah.
Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna.
That's like if you're going to text about Madonna, that's how you write it.
So back in her bad girl days, it would have been L-U-V, vagina.
Well, she's matured.
It would have been V-G-N-A, vagina.
I'm going to call my shot. We're taping this the morning of Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to say that Super Bowl halftime show is going to be glorious.
I assume she'll play this.
Yeah, probably so.
Amidst some time-worn classics like Lucky Star. And
Borderline and Hump a Chair.
I bet it'll be good, and I bet the Patriots will win 27-16.
And I'm going for Green Bay.
Okay, all right, stick with that.
What did you think?
I did like it. It was fun.
Have you heard it before?
I have not heard it. I knew it was out, but I had not heard it.
Gary?
I have not heard it before. I think I might have seen is there a commercial floating around maybe?
I might have got a
little teaser of it, but I think it's fine. I think we ignore Madonna at our peril. I think she's.
I ever since she re-embraced dance, like just straight up, I like it. I can't. That's irresistible to me.
Madonna is not so much a recording art known for her vocals, or she's a pop culture entity.
Yeah.
So she can. She doesn't.
This is catchy. I mean, I think Martin Solvang produced it. Who I like that song "Hello" that he did.
For Lionel Richie?
With Dragonette. No, it was a hit song last year, I think.
Look, after 30 years, she's still making music, and we're still talking about it. Yeah. So she's doing something right. So, although Elton John, has a YouTube videotape message from Elton John that tells Madonna, have fun lip syncing today.
Ooh.
Or he says lip sync good today.
Meow.
On the why does Elton John bothering? Why does he care? Yeah. He wakes up and he grabs his gold plated laptop and he says, I'm going to make a video message for that bitch. Lip sync good today.
He's so bitchy all of a sudden.
He
too.
Is.
He's just mad because she stole his accent.
Probably.
Exactly. We're just barely into 2012 and the good songs are starting to come out. Between that Madonna song and this one we're about to hear right now, it's going to be a heated battle for...
You got something?
I got some brand new, hot off the presses.
Right.
We've been talking about a little bit on Facebook. It's a band we talked about a couple episodes ago.
All right.
And they are back, and it's exciting, and it's just total ear candy.
I am no messenger.
Let's see if you can guess who it is.
But I will give you a message. A message?
I'm back.
Instant classic. Amazing video, like it's like animated in the style of like Napoleon Dynamite's Liger drawings or something.
And there's an homage to Queen.
Totally.
There's a picture, a drawing of Queen. It says champs under them.
Yeah.
So, Gary, you want to tell people who that is?
That's the Darkness.
I thought they broke up. I thought they broke up.
They're back, I guess, apparently, and none too soon.
Wonder who produced this and when? Is it Roy Thomas Baker again?
Let's just go with that. Let's just say it is.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like him. That's
pretty good.
Could very well be. Hey, speaking of Queen, what do you think of that news that Adam Lambert's like the new singer of Queen?
Well, you know what? I think he's better to sing the Queen catalog than Paul Rodgers is. Paul Rodgers is a great vocalist, but he doesn't sing like Freddie Mercury.
I wish we could split the difference between the two, because Adam Lambert, like I'm pulling for the kid, but his voice, like it's a powerful voice, but it's not a very pleasing tone. It's really
So it's
got a car alarm quality to it.
I did not see the Paul Rodgers Queen tour, but I will go see this because I think that he'll.
Because you're totally Glambert. That's what people
think. Glambert.
Yeah.
And so you know, it's hard because I love Queen, and those guys shouldn't just have to stop being Queen because Freddie died if they want to pay tribute to him. It's hard.
We should just keep restocking our classic rock bands, like with new people.
With new people,
so they go on like
I mean, you can't replace him. He's not. You can't replace Freddie Mercury.
Right.
You can't.
Absolutely.
I thought maybe they would do it after the Freddie Mercury tribute concert in 91. I thought maybe they would go out with George Michael because he did a good job of Somebody to Love.
Oh, that would be good. Or can't they find a tiny Filipino guy?
Or just take someone out to lip sync.
So yeah, that's fine.
I'll go out and lip sync those tunes.
Well, yeah, what's the difference make after like 17 rows? You can't tell anyway.
Well, you ready to get into it?
I'm ready to get into it. This is this episode is one. This is the brainchild of one Pat Francis.
Hey, man.
And it's called something called the producer's chair.
The producer's chair.
It's all about Matt Belknap.
Yes, Matt. Hey, look. If I had to pick a podcast producer, Matt's the guy. He makes these podcasts sound good. He does. How many do you do? Six, seven?
Right now, I think five.
Wow,
five. You do that TJ Miller thing?
Oh, that's not out yet. That's a secret.
Ixnay on the
Never
Miller
mind.
Man.
Matt's doing many secret projects too.
This is your favorite one, though, right?
doing.
I do love this one. This is a lot of fun.
Laughing. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So what we're going to do is Gary picked a producer, I picked a producer, and then we're going to go through a bunch of their work with different artists and show some range of what they can do and why we like them. And
before we start, we should talk about, like, what is a producer? What do you think? Like is a producer like analogous to a director of a movie? It's someone who kind of he holds the flag of the creative vision of the project. He kind of calls the shots.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he might have a very heavy hand and really put his personal stamp on it, mm-hmm. or he might have a hand-on approach. But ultimately, it's the captain at the wheel, right?
When yeah, and the group is you're really giving up a lot when you go into the studio with the producer and you go, okay, here, we're putting our babies in your hands.
Yeah.
Sometimes producers co-write some songs, too.
They can help with the song, yeah. You know, arrangements and track selection yeah. and, you know, nope, try it again. I think they say that a lot.
They do that a lot. Can we get a little more reverb?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's so just so people know what we talk about. And there's some big name producers with very distinct sound and
right.
And some guys that some unsung heroes that like, oh, I didn't know that was the same guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go.
And, you know, I was, I steered away from I love Roy Thomas Baker, but I yeah. thought, well, if I use him, I'm going to be playing a litany of music that I've played already because
right.
he's produced, you know, Foreigner, Journey, Queen, The Cars, Cheap Trick, Alice Cooper. And I'm like, I can't do Roy Thomas Baker, even though I love him as a producer.
For that same reason, I steered away from Steve Albini.
Like, yeah.
The Pixies, Nirvana, and I'm just going to, you know, Breeders, I'm going to be playing like all that, but so I picked somebody else.
So who did you, I'm going to let you go first. Who did you pick? And Gary was afraid that maybe we would pick the same producer, so I purposely picked someone I didn't think he would pick, so I'm anxious to see who you pick, Gary.
I was worried because I picked somebody with a lot of Pat-centric credits, you know, on his discography, but it's a fellow named Chris Thomas.
Oh, yes.
Whose very first job was on a little album, self-titled 1960. The album by a group called The Beatles. Ever hear of them?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds a little something like this. He played, this is his very first job. He's like, he writes a letter to George Martin. Goes, oh, wait. He actually plays on this track, so we'll hear some Bungalow Bill here for a second.
Bill and his elephants were taken by.
That's him on the organ back there. You can hear a little bit.
So Captain Marvel zapped him right between the eyes.
So that's you know, writes a letter to George Martin. I'm interested in being a record producer. And you know, one thing leads to another.
Ballsy.
Come on down. You know, that's how things used to work back in the old days. So that's his first job. He's kind of helping engineer and just like in the lay of the land. And at one point,
almost interning.
Yeah, exactly.
An internship.
The freaking Beatles White Album. And at one point, George Martin goes on holiday. It leaves him in charge. So he's like, you know, he's like actually produces a few tracks and, you know, he has to tell John Lennon, nope, try it again. You know, like,
what did the lads say? They must have just been cool with it. All right.
They went with it. And that was when they were kind of working on their own a lot too. So
yeah.
Like he's, you know, tell some stories like he'd be with George on one thing and Paul's like goofing on another thing. So, but still it's like kind of cool. And from there, he went on to mix a little album called Dark Side of the Moon. Ever hear of that?
Hmm.
That sounds a little something like this. I didn't pick good examples. But so he just mixed this. He didn't produce it, but you know, just all four Floyds around him at all times, like, you know, just like yelling at him. You know, he's like in his early 20s. But you know, this one that like really stood the test of time. I'm so high right now. So you're probably thinking, boring dinosaur rock, doesn't even do anything cool. Well, maybe you heard of another little album called Nevermind the Bollocks.
Right.
So that is some range. Like, you know, Johnny Rotten used to famously wear like a Pink Floyd t-shirt with "I hate" written on it. So, to, you know, Dark Side of the Moon and Nevermind the Bollocks, that's some range.
That is definitely some range.
So we're going to hear more about
Chris Thomas,
some of the other great things that he's done, some of the not so great things he's done, and some of the more recent things he's done that you might not realize.
Cool.
And you'll
I love
know
it.
A little bit more about Chris Thomas. Now I'm dying to hear who you picked.
Well, I picked someone who now is probably considered mainstream, probably. He's probably like the go-to guy that people go to. He's a very handsome man. I picked Rick Rubin.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Very
good. And he has been around for a long time, since like 1981. He's been producing stuff. But I guess the first time we really heard Rick Rubin was with the rap artists like Run DMC and these guys. And then I always I attribute to this guy for melding rock and rap with this song.
Oh my goodness.
Same beat.
Yep, both from 86.
Suck on that, Linkin Park.
Just give me a kiss. So that was No Sleep Till Brooklyn by the Beastie Boys from 86, and Walk This Way from Raising Hell, the Run DMC album, where they invited some drug addicts to come in and re-record their song.
And for the people playing along at home on their on the Rick Rubin beard thermometer, like how long is the beard now? It's we're still fairly close cropped.
Yeah, we're close cropped now. Yeah. He's not. He has. Not, it's funny you should say that, because right now he is. He's in the studio with ZZ Top.
Oh, that's so funny! Wow,
I know.
Finally,
isn't that hysterical?
Meaning of the beards.
So I'm going to touch on some other more diverse artists as we go. But that, I think the first time anyone heard of Rick Rubin was he was doing the rap mostly, you know, with LL Cool J, and he was also a metal guy. He was doing stuff with Slayer. So,
and that was Enemy. That was Slayer's guitarist on No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
That's what Matt's
really?
Telling me.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a guitar solo in there. That's
so again, both of
Kerry
their songs.
King.
Yeah, I think something like that. So there's rock and rap on both of those songs then, if you really wanted to. Hey, if push came to shove. Kerry King.
Together.
Back to you, Mr. Chris Thomas.
So, based on his notoriety with his early credits, he parlays that into producing the last few Badfinger records, which aren't too noteworthy, as you've pointed out. And also the last few Procol Harum records. Like,
I'm sure there's a hit or two on a few of those, right?
But somehow this leads to a chance meeting with Brian Ferry. And this is where the Chris Thomas really explodes for me, his story. Because, it was all very casual. He was there to, like, meet John Cale or to produce, like, one of his, you know, albums that nobody listens to. And Brian Ferry's like, we need a producer. So he said, okay, they just hit it off. And he ends up with this string of genius albums, starting with their second album, For Your Pleasure. He does You're Stranded. He does Your Siren. He does Your Country Life. And he does your Viva Roxy Music. And I'm missing one in there. But it's just unprecedented. Amazing records sound as fresh as a daisy today, as the day they were made. Or, you know, any era that you're listening to. This is needle drop this one, Matt, about maybe like 45 seconds. And we're I think we're going to hear something that might be classified as part of the Chris Thomas sound. This is this is Out of the Blue. And to me, the key to the Chris Thomas sound is the bass. He's a bass player by trade. And All of his records have a lot, like a lot of strong, not funky or obtrusive bass, but there's this one cool riff in here. I probably should have figured out. But this is kind of like, this is like the entire Duran Duran discography is based on this song, I think. It's like very much...
That's good.
So that's cool. That's Out of the Blue. That's on Country Life. Everybody needs all those Chris Thomas Rocks music albums. Meets a lass who encourages her to get into the music business named Chrissy Hind.
Who?
Yes. And he's produces those first three classic Pretenders albums and is credited as the fifth Pretender on Learning to Crawl. But yeah, maybe drop in this one about 45 seconds in. He really creates like this sonic environment with like very few tricks. And it's just so classic. This is Up the Neck, but let me see if we get like...
I woke up with a headache,
it's with
mascara.
This is like the guitar's like a separate character, I like in this song.
With my hip pressed between my knees, under the bed of my teeth sunk into my own flesh. I said, baby, oh sweetheart.
Amazing, sumptuous.
Yeah.
And it's taking these very basic elements of rock, but like building castles out of, with them. And also evident in that is on the on those dope solo Pete Townsend albums,
oh,
such
yes.
as Empty Glass. Listen to this. I love this little overture to Rough Boys that we'll hear here. Because, you know, otherwise this would be a pretty standard, like, chugga-chugga, maybe like, a Who knockoff or something, but...
No, he produced the three best Pete Townsend solo albums.
Yeah.
Empty Glass, Chinese Eyes, and White City.
Mm-hmm. Bass again. So then it's brings us up to the mid '80s, and then, I'm going to say this is where things start to go wrong because it's like he continues to be a big name and like have a lot of hits, but he's working with a band called INXS on their third album called "Listen Like Thieves," and he doesn't hear a hit. And he has this algorithm where I was reading about like in Mix magazine. He's like, "What if we could remove the 12th song and replace it with a song that's as good as the 6th best song? Then it would be that much better." And, so do you have something that's as good as the 6th best song? And Andrew Ferris says like, "I just been working on this riff. It just all I pretty much have is like chank chank chank." That's it. And that becomes What You Need. That becomes like their big breakout hit. They become monsters after that. Let's hear a little bit of not that song. Let's hear Kiss the Dirt, Falling Down the Mountain, which is kind of the same song.
And Listen Like Thieves is, I mean, that song's jammed with hits.
Oh yeah. Yeah, tons of hits on there. A lot of space, a lot of air in here. Maybe a little too much space.
Laying in the dust, we're finally water them with your tears. Don't think about all the years. You'd rather be with us.
And then so here he is. That's Chris Thomas in Full Flower. The golden, the Midas touch can't lose. So on our next chapter, we'll see maybe the dark side of his work. But meanwhile, what's Rick Rubin up to?
Rick Rubin is moving into 1987 and through 89. He's going to work with some different types of artists. He's going to produce some songs on the Less Than Zero soundtrack, including this remake by this girl group from California.
Oh, this is so good.
Simon and Garfunkel song.
I was so hard to please. Look around.
I didn't even know this was a Simon Garfunkel song when I first heard this in the 80s.
Right. I don't think a lot of people did. Yeah. So that's like good for him to like dig it out.
Yeah.
You see the potential, like put these two together. And, you know, these, you know, because that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Harmony group doing like one of their songs, but then to rock the hell out of it. It's amazing.
Then he jumped in with a band called The Cult, and their first album was called Love and does not sound like their second album, which is the Rick Rubin produced Electric. And I don't even know if we're going to get to any lyrics here, but I just want to jump in.
This might be my favorite.
The groove is amazing. Love this, Removal Machine.
This drum sound is obnoxious.
Yes.
It's so great. AC/DC are ringing their solicitors.
I know. We don't even need to get to Ian Astbury. It's just great all the way through. Oh, okay. Check it. You want to hear more? You go buy it, you motherfuckers. And then in 89, this is, I'm not a rap music guy at all, but this is such a cool song. I love this song. I think it was also on Less Than Zero, but it's also on Walking with a Panther, LL Cool J. Where are we going?
Sorry. Yeah, this is on Less Than Zero.
I put this on last night. My wife actually was dancing in, seductively in the bedroom. So I kept it on all night. In a loop.
I don't think so.
What?
Cali. I'm back to Cali. I don't think so. Coming back to Cali. Styling, profiling. Smiling while in the sun, the top is down on the black Corvette, and his fly cars are sitting on the beat.
And this is how the East Coast West Coast rap feud started.
That's right.
That's not true at all.
So I just wanted to play those as three totally different sounds, totally different bands, and all cool.
Just I mean, like for whatever gifts that LL brings to it, like his charisma and
muscles,
you know, yeah, and his muscles and everything like that, and his technique. I mean, that's such a tour de force of what Rick Rubin brings to the table. Just like you know, that's like a guy who spent a lot of times like on his knees at the record store, like in the bins down below, like looking for things, looking for sounds,
like that horn at the beginning.
Yes.
Awesome.
Amazing scratching.
I love that you can tell a Rick Rubin rap song. I mean, you can actually hear his drum. He had, like you were saying about The Cult, like he definitely has a distinctive style of miking drums too, but that you could hear any song from the Def Jam catalog from the 80s that he did, and you'd be like, oh, that's Rick Rubin.
Yep. He mics the hell out of those drums.
Cool. Okay, so meanwhile, back with Chris Thomas. Now he's a superstar, and he can pretty much do whatever he wants. So I think he makes a choice. Like, he's made his art records, you know, his legacy is secure. So he just, you know, I'm not saying he's sold out or anything, because I mean, you know, come on, he just like he's a guy who wants to work, and he wants to work with the biggest names or his friends, whoever asks him. So he kind of takes up a decades long residency with Elton John.
But we have to say, Elton, he brings Elton John back.
Yeah, up and down. I don't know.
I know we can argue about this, but I love that early 80s Elton John wearing a hat. I love that stuff. I love Jump Up and The Fox and Too Low for Zero, Breaking Hearts. Those might be my favorite Elton John records.
Do you love this one? I Am Your Robot from Jump Up.
I love Jump Up. It's my favorite Elton John album.
Really?
So I do like this.
Bernie Taupin calls it his worst. By a long shot.
It's so funny because there's a lot of people who say the worst album is this, and I'm like, that's my favorite.
And no, there's some cool songs, and there's some very
Empty Gardens on this album.
Empty Garden is awesome.
And Blue Eyes is on this album.
Yeah, and see, listen. Like, would you guess Elton John yet? No.
No.
Styx, maybe.
Yes, you're right. You might be picking the worst track off Jump Up.
But, and, you know, obviously his 19th and 23rd albums are not going to be
right.
Goodbye what is Yellow Brick Road.
Come exactly. It's a robot man.
It's a robot man. She's got a sabotage on the silver key.
I am your robot.
I take it back. This is awesome.
There's a great song on there called Ball and Chain that Pete Townsend plays acoustic guitar.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yeah.
All these are worth hearing. And this is like, you know, I guess that's why they call it the blues and I'm Still Standing and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's
sad song. Yeah, sad. It's all, I mean, tons of Elton John hits in those early 80s albums.
And it's Chris Thomas. So, you know, he'll work on that in the spring and summer in Montserrat. And then, like, he'll, I don't know, winter with NXS and he'll, you know, do like the increasingly successful and shittier NXS albums.
Or The Pretender. The first three Pretenders albums are all Chris Thomas.
Well, yeah. Have you been listening to this podcast?
But I just wanted to say he didn't just do the first one. He did the first three.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I thought I pointed that out. But
you might have.
So this like 80s and 90s period, it's kind of a dark period. And he's also oversees the last Wings album. And this is like kind of a misstep, I think, like that Back to the Egg album. Because part of what the producer does is, you know, like we said, you know, kick off the 12th best track and bring on, you know, some of the, and this was like a B-side from those sessions that's better than anything that was on that. And it's called Daytime Nighttime Suffering. Do you know this song from
I don't know this song.
What does she get for all the love she gave?
No, I think I do know this.
Yeah, it's got some airplane.
The ladder of regret. I didn't remember. Give her all
kick in her a little
she gave. What does she get for all the love she gave? They're on the ladder of regret. Daytime, nighttime suffering is all she gets.
Look, put this track on that shitburger, Chris Thomas. What don't make me buy a single or whatever to get that. So now things are looking dark. Will Chris Thomas ever come back with any more classic albums? It remains to be seen in my next part of the show.
Well, Rick Rubin does something in 1989. I don't even know if you need a producer to do this, but he does it anyway. This guy decides to hitch his wagon to a comedian named Andrew Dice Clay.
All right, listen to this drum sound. Oh!
And he's going to produce Dice's first album called Dice. Let's hear a little of that ridiculousness.
Let's say you're fucking... I don't know, your fucking dog style, right?
All right, sir.
Let's say your fucking dog style and the chick gets pregnant. I mean, would the kid pop out backwards?
Okay, that doesn't even make sense on many levels. Doesn't make any sense at all. But as you can hear, that he's got that audience mic'd, but good. He's mic'ing up fraternity guys, unemployed lunkheads. He brought in a bunch of guys from a sports bar, and he goes, "I'm going to mic you up." And then in '92, I go,
"Hold on, though. I got to say, you told me that yesterday,
right?
That joke And I saw Dice. I saw him live in like '91 or something.
In person?
I was a fan. Yeah.
Okay,
but like you telling it to me, I was like, oh my god, ridiculous. But then hearing it, I feel like there is a hint of knowingness in his delivery.
That he knows he's saying something stupid.
That there is a level of irony there that obviously the crowd is not.
No, they're not getting.
Aware
they're not getting.
Of,
that.
But I give him a little credit. There's a little craft there. Okay. Give it up. Give it
all
up.
All right. He's doing a character. So noted. Okay, and so then he goes on to produce a couple of Dice albums, and he also produces. I'm not a Leno fan, so I included from 42 Long. This is Dice Just Says No to Leno. That's the name of the track. Here's how it starts.
When I watch Jay Leno on TV now, he always had a head the size of a chandelier. You know, I think he's a cocksucker personally.
That made the album.
This is a guy, like, when my career took off, it wasn't good because I didn't do, like, 7-Eleven jokes, you know. Like, he'll do 7-Eleven jokes, but he won't talk about the fucking gooks that run the joint. You know, but I don't...
It's funny because it's true.
Rick Rubin
put offensive.
Gooks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is he? What 7-Eleven is he going
to? I don't know where he's going. Chinatown?
Hanoi, I guess. I don't know.
So I just... That's my comedy break for saying. I don't even know if it's a comedy break. But go ahead, Gary. I'm throwing it back to you, Gary.
Interesting. Well, this...
Yeah, he does like 6 Dice albums. He produces like... I guess he said, you know, there's money in these, so let me produce them.
Yeah, and it makes sense on some level. You know, it's kind of the same audience as
As Slayer?
And
Dice was a rock star. I mean, for people who don't remember, right. who are too young, like, he played Madison Square Garden.
Right.
He would come out with a leather jacket on. People would go fucking crazy.
Right.
He was the closest thing to a rock star, I think, maybe in the history of comedy. Yeah.
And he was on Def Jam, right? So it was like...
Def Jam Records, yes.
So, yeah, that, now it all makes sense.
Not Def Comedy Jam.
No, Def Comedy Jam.
So he made a pretty penny on those.
Okay, cool.
So now it's like the 90s, and... if you think of Rick Thomas or Chris Thomas at all, you think like, he used to be good, but now he's just kind of, that Elton John hit machine. That's not for me anymore. But then he comes back with an album that you read any of the British music magazines. This is one of those that like is always like in the, voted one of the all time greatest British albums. It is by Pope. It is called Different Class. It's got your Common People. It's got your Sorted for Ease and Whiz. And it's got this track, Underwear, on Rock Solid.
Why don't you shut the door and close the curtains? 'Cause you're not going anywhere. He's coming up the stairs. And in a moment.
Stop it now, there's no way to get out. It's standing far too near. How the hell did you get me here? Semi-naked in somebody else's room. I'd give my whole life to see it. Just you stood there.
So he does that when he does the other great Pulp record, This Is Hardcore. And in the 2000s, well, he worked with a group called Razorlight. Most recently, a band called Mystery Jets, which I have not heard. I looked for it. I couldn't find it. But here's one you might know. And he does not – Spanish is not a second language for him, obviously. But this is a song that was – I think it won a Grammy for him. And it's maybe the last great Chris Thomas track that we have so far. But who knows what will cook up next. And I think you might recognize this from iPod commercials or something. You know this one?
Lights go down, it's dark. The jungle is your head. Can't rule your heart. A feeling so much stronger than a thought. Your eyes are wide and though your soul.
I hadn't heard that in a long time, and when I was putting this together, I'm like, oh my God, this is a fantastic song. This now, stands up with all their
now, Gary,
hits. Yeah.
I'm about to pull the rug out from under you.
Uh-oh.
Chris Thomas did not produce Vertigo.
What?
Steve Lillywhite produced that song.
Motherfucker.
Chris Thomas produced Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own. He produced One Step Closer, and he produced Yahweh on that album.
But we couldn't do this in private.
But he did not. He did. Well, yeah, there's people. You don't want people to start emailing, Gary, you don't post in Gary, you stupid idiot, or anything.
I guess I don't want
but,
that.
But no, Steve Lillywhite produced Vertigo.
Oh, fuck Chris Thomas.
I'm looking at the credits of the individual tracks on all that you can.
Good night, Springton. There will be no encore.
But nonetheless, the songs that he did produce on Atomic Bomb are good songs.
I guess.
Look at the bright side. We got to hear Vertigo, which is
that's true.
Which
that's
is awesome. True. See, and how about that Steve Lillywhite?
Yeah.
I knew I should have did him.
Yeah.
Oh, sad story.
He did that Dave Matthews Band album that got trashed. Got shelved for a while.
Nice. Hey, we're running short on time. I got a bunch of stuff to play.
Okay. I'm done, so you go.
Okay, we move into the 90s, and Ruben now starts to work with some veteran artists, including... we're going to hear something from Tom Petty's Wildflowers, and then we're going to hear something from AC/DC's Ballbreaker. Here's Tom Petty. Drum sound again.
Get to the point, let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too long to be proud.
Masterpiece.
Yep.
Love Wildflowers.
Yes, Wildflowers is great. And then I don't even know if people know this AC/DC album. It's called Ball Breaker. And this is a song called, I'm not even, it's called Love Bomb. Love Bomb! Love Bomb! It's a coming on strong. I can't take it any longer. Coming rocking through your door.
The union of Rick Rubin and AC/DC, yes. it's like when you have two friends that you think like, oh, you guys are going to hit it awesome, man. Total matchmaker. This is going to be great. Like, oh, so how was your date with AC/DC? That's good.
It was okay.
Oh, man. So you're like, this is something we've all longed for, rock fans. Like, if only those two would get together. And it was okay.
Yeah. What happens when a love bomb comes and hits you in the face?
I'll tell you.
Then we're going to.
Love comes in spurts.
Then this is where Rick Rubin hitches his wagon to this guy. Who's this guy? Anyone ever heard of Johnny Cash? And
this is when we enter the Mesozoic period of the Rubin canon.
So this is a Nine Inch Nails song, right? Hurt,
right?
And I, of course, everyone always says Haunting.
I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
That's cool.
This came up on an earlier episode, right, Gary? Because he changed a lyric. Is that true?
Oh.
Am I making that up?
I don't recall. Maybe.
I might be thinking of somebody else. I know people were mad that he changed some word.
Cash did, whatever. So
that's talk about producing. That's like, you know, that's like he like dragged the guy out of his grave.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's like the Crypt Keeper is singing a tune to you.
But like gave him like, you know, and just this whole like fourth act to Johnny Cash's
resurgence.
Great career. You know, all courtesy of like the magic of a great producer.
And now, I love that there's no drum, but the piano in it is fucking percussive, kicking your ass the whole time.
Amazing.
Fucking crazy.
So then in 2005, Rick Rubin wants to work with Neil Diamond. And he tells Neil, he goes, I want you to play guitar while you sing. Because you sing differently when you're playing guitar than you do when you're just singing. And he wants Neil to do a whole stripped down album like Johnny Cash, but Neil does original songs. He doesn't do covers. Mm-hmm. So they do a song called 12 Songs, and it does really well. And then 3 years later, they do another one called Home Before Dark. And again, he tells Neil the same thing. It's just you. It's guitar. And this actually album goes to number one. I think it's Neil Diamond's first number one album.
Really?
And this is a song called Pretty Amazing Grace.
Huh.
And he does sing. Amazing Grace. He sings better when he's playing his guitar and singing.
And will amazing grace reclaim my heart? Love in the midst of chaos, calm in the heat of war, showed with amazing grace what love was for. You forgave my insensitivity and my.
I haven't heard that. That's cool.
Yeah, those are pretty cool albums. And yeah, he doesn't have that schmaltzy Vegas-y thing as much when he sings like this. So Rick Rubin was on to something.
Strip it down to its basic parts. If you want to have some good YouTube fun, look up Neil Diamond and on the Johnny Cash Show in the 60s and doing some Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. It's a good.
So there's we're going to skip the next two songs. It was Red Hot Chili Peppers. We know Rick Rubin's association with them. He's like the fifth member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and
the fifth throbbing member.
That's right. And then he produced a Weezer album called Make Believe, and I don't think a lot of Weezer fans aren't.
Spoiler alert: there's piercing guitar licks, and a heavy drum,
yeah. So I'm going to jump to my last three clips of Rick working with the ladies. So this is Sheryl Crow singing a cover of a very popular metal song, and Rick produced this. Let's hear. You'll know what it is.
I forgot about this.
Long, I'll probably break down and cry.
And then in 2006, he takes up with a couple of chicks from Dixie called the Dixie Chicks. This is a song called Not Ready to Make Nice.
Love it.
And then
they sure sound mad.
They are.
I don't want to interrupt your flow, but yeah, I was thinking this perfectly captures my feeling that I have right now. Like, I went to the 7-Eleven before the show.
Yeah.
And the guy gives me a $2 bill for change. What the hell am I supposed to do with that?
I turn around and I buy a pack of gum and throw it right back in his fucking face.
Because you ain't ready to make nice.
Why did those gooks at the 7-Eleven do that to you?
Oh.
Before I play my last song, according to Wikipedia, Rick Rubin is currently working in the studio with ZZ Top, Linkin Park, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Black Sabbath, the Avett Brothers, I don't know who they are.
Oh, they're
Avett. Must be new. Avett. Yeah. And Metallica.
All at the same time.
Yeah, all together on one album.
Yeah.
No, so that's his slate for 2012. So.
And we heard from a little birdie over the weekend that he doesn't even show up a lot nowadays.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, maybe he's doing some executive producing.
He puts his name on some stuff.
He's like Christo. He doesn't wrap the islands in cellophane.
This is a song that he did produce, and from what I read, he worked this woman into a frenzy.
Oh,
she said he was a taskmaster.
Oh,
this is from the album 21. He produced a couple of tracks on Adele's recent album, and this is called "Don't You Remember."
When will I see you again? Not a single word was it.
She's awful.
No final kiss to seal any sins. I had no idea of the state we were in.
That's Adele.
I know I have a fickle heart.
Oh, there's the drum.
Nice.
I know. He, what if he has Dice come in and help him co-produce? Come on, Adele. Hit the note.
Yeah, I didn't want to sing that, Dice.
Don't you remember, Dice? Get me a sandwich, baby.
Copyright 2011, Jimmy Pardo.
That's right. So that's our producer show. That was fun.
This was a really good idea. And, you know, I was, I've been taking a little heat on the internet about like maybe like... I knew this show was going to be like really classic rock centric, so I wanted to end with something that I've been grooving to lately.
It wasn't really classic rock centric though.
It
Johnny
was
Cash,
it
Adele,
spanned the
Dixie Chicks,
it spanned the decades.
Yeah,
and LL
Dice.
It was a lot of variety, but I wanted to play something from the 2010s.
Okay,
and this is something that came out late last year that I just became aware of, and this is my new favorite jam of the week. It's a Sleeper Agent and Get Burned. Like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening. Follow, write, and review.
Bye-bye.